broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. There's only 94 days to the Century Tournament of Champions. I sure hope you're going to come out. Plantation course, it's all yours. You got to come out. All right, it's going to be mostly sunny today. Partly cloudy, mostly sunny to partly cloudy, and then isolated to scattered showers. High today, 87 to 92. 92. It's October 1st. 92 degrees. Come on, cool off. Variable winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Hot sale going on over at, yes, Aloha Power Equipment. Everything Maruyama on sale, up to 25% off at Aloha Power Equipment Superstore next to the Costco gas station. Weed whackers, blowers, saws, you name it. This weekend, Iwile and Waipahu, we put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment, and we put power in your golf game, get you ready for the game. We've got Michael Patrick Shields coming on, host of Michigan's Big Show, from Belize to California. A lot of it driven. He didn't drive from Belize, fortunately. He flew. Alex Meyer, senior writer, Golf Digest, is in the house. Michael Costillo, head golf professional, Kapalua Golf on the Plantation course. Of course, the home of the Century Tournament of Champions through 2035. And Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel commentator, on-course reporter, influencer. We'll be back after this, starting off with Mark. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe, cleanup, 24-7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwile. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Mark Rolfing, golf analyst, golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, member Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, contributor to a really cool book. It's for dads, expectant dads, dads who are just dads now, dads who have been dads. It's called The Dad's Advice Project, filled with really good information from dads. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark Rolfing.
Well, thank you for having me, Danielle. I'm on my way back to Wisconsin, actually, where you and I both just were a few weeks ago. I'm headed to Kohler for a big Ryder Cup celebration tomorrow night with Captain Steve Stricker of the U.S.
Wow. So this is 1 year since and 1 year to the next Ryder Cup?
That is exactly it. It's a year now from Rome, and it was a year ago yesterday, actually, that the U.S. clinched the cup. And so we're going to do a big celebration there in the community. It's going to be fun.
That sounds fun. Like, what kind of things happen during the celebration? Do you know what?
Well, hopefully an in-depth Q&A with Steve Stricker, because, first of all, we haven't heard from him since he had his terrible bout with a disease that's still been undiagnosed. He almost died within a month or so after that Ryder Cup. Very, very sick for a long time, and I want to talk to him about that. And I also want to hear his feelings on LIV Golf and whether or not he thinks those players ought to be eligible to play in next year's Ryder Cup, and how did it really impact what went on last week at the President's Cup. So a lot I want to hear from Steve Stricker.
Absolutely. I can't wait to hear. Oh, yeah. That'll all be on Golf Channel, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Okay, good. So, you know, you talked about so many different things. I didn't know whether to start with what you're doing in going to the President's Cup wrap-up, or Michelle Wee serving as the Mizuho brand ambassador and the tournament host of a brand-new event, which...
Well, let's talk about all of it. To me, it's all good news for the game right now. You know, I think the sort of fracturing of the game at the highest level you know, has been disconcerting and has been awkward, and I don't think it's for the good of the game. But if you take a look at all the other levels of the game, and particularly the LPGA, it is really trending very well right now. And I'm proud of Michelle for kind of putting herself out there and taking a little bit of a chance, I think, and hosting a tournament. She's going to be great at it.
Yeah, and Liberty National Golf Club. I mean, a $2.75 million purse. And not only is it the LPGA, it's concurrently hosting the AJGA Invitational. So there's going to be junior golfers competing, the AJGA junior golfers, 24 of the top, alongside 120-player LPGA field for their own title. So this is mixing the juniors with the adults. I was going to call them seniors. Not quite. And that in and of itself is fantastic, that the experience just playing with LPGA players and AGGA, they're all great players, but this must be like stepping up.
Yeah, it really is. And it was a surprise venue, I got to tell you, because I would have thought if Michelle was going to host a tournament, it would have either been on the West Coast, maybe Florida. But I love the idea of going to Liberty National. It's a great golf course. It has hosted a President's Cup in the past. I thought it was a little too short for that competition. It's a pretty small course. There's been a couple of PGA Tour playoff events at Liberty National. They shot really, really low. So I think it is a beautiful test for the women. It's just a little bit under the yardage that's needed, I think, for today's modern game of men's professional golf. But for this event, with the kids and with the ladies, it's going to be a phenomenal venue.
Perfect, perfect. And this is, goodness gracious, the Mizuho Americas Open concurrently hosting that AJGA Invitational. Is this a multiple-year agreement that they've come to?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. They didn't really release the details, but I don't think anybody would make a commitment. And Michelle, not the least of which, wouldn't make a commitment if there weren't a little longevity to it. And I would suspect it's somewhere in the 3 to 4 year range. You know, they've got to secure a television deal and do that kind of thing. You just can't do that with 1 year deal.
Yes. Good point. And I was watching Golf Channel. She was on Golf Today. And Damon Hack was talking with her. And she talked about how this was really important to her to be a part of growing the game, having the AJGA kids there in addition to the LPGA women playing, and how the dynamic would be and how much the younger players would get out of and learn from the LPGA players. And she'd always wanted to host an LPGA event, didn't know which one, and this came to her. I couldn't help but think of the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions. She's been hosting the HSJGA event here in Hawaii for years.
Yes, she has. You know, it's difficult starting a new event out in Hawaii. It's hard enough for us to keep the events we have just because of the distance and particularly the time of year. If you don't kind of fit in the Aloha swing where all the TV equipment is out there, it's very, very difficult. But I will tell you, last week at the President's Cup, I got to spend a lot of time with the AJGA folks and their best boy juniors, because Nota Begay, my colleague, was the captain of the President's Cup junior team there, who came from behind to beat the internationals. And we actually had all 12 members of that junior team for America on our set at one time. And I was just amazed and blown away, Danielle, at how mature these kids are. I don't think I was ever on live television when I was that age. And they kept grabbing the mic from each other. Everybody wanted to talk. I would have been scared to death.
They are different, right? They're so composed. It's scary.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. But if you look back at that President's Cup, you mentioned that. I really think one of the reasons why golf is flourishing so much is the Golf Channel and what the Golf Channel can do. And I thought last week we really were able to showcase what that international team was like and you know, explain to the worldwide audience who some of these players were that particularly the American fans maybe had never even heard of. And it just was a really, really cool event. You know, it had the makings of being a dud, to be honest with you, with some of the international players, you know, really going to live golf and having to be replaced. There were some Americans that also had to be replaced, but it turned into a really, really good event. The TV ratings were great. The on-site crowds were enormous, 40,000, 50,000 a day out there. It was a really highly successful President's Cup.
It was the best President's Cup I can remember watching. And the dynamics of some of those international players, I mean, we kept saying, oh, yeah, the U.S. team has it in the bag. But these guys are, you know, they got it. You know, they're players. And we always talked about how when are the Europeans going to challenge the U.S. team in the Ryder Cup? And the same story is happening with the internationals versus the U.S., right? Well, they're coming on, and they're going to beat us. We're going to have to work hard because they're working really, really hard. And Tom Kim was such a dynamic personality.
Yeah, he is. He is remarkable. He really is. He's going to be a superstar, Danielle. I love watching him play. I love how engaged he is. And I got to say, my good friend Trevor Immelman, I thought just did a tremendous job captaining that team. He really did. The odds were stacked so much against them. And I saw a tweet the other day from a guy who said, you know, he ought to be a motivational speaker, Trevor. And I went back and I said, well, you know what? He is going to be. He's going to be the lead analyst on CBS Golf. That's kind of motivational speaking, isn't it? And he showed me last week that he is going to be really good in this new job he's going to start next year.
Oh, wow, cool. All right. And now on the U.S. side, I think Max Homa sort of set the bar, don't you think?
He did. And, you know, I got to say that I really feel like LIV Golf did the U.S. a favor by taking some of the kind of dissidents and bad boys off of that team. If you look at who didn't play in the President's Cup because they weren't eligible, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson. Now, he fits in pretty well, and he had a tremendous Ryder Cup a year ago. But really what that allowed the Americans to do was have guys like Max Homa really rise to the forefront and become a star and actually kind of a team leader.
Mm-hmm.
The stories I got out of the locker room were that he was the life of the party all week long.
I'm not surprised to hear that. He was the life of the party on the field. I mean, he was amazing on course. Watching him was it was truly delightful. It was a delightful event. And yes, we were in charge in the beginning, and then they came on strong, and we had to buckle down, and that really made it a fabulous President's Cup. Again, I think it was one of the best ever. I want to go, you know, you mentioned Bryson DeChambeau. He's competing, right? He's doing the Pro Long Drive Association Championship, made it to the top 16, hoping to make it to the top 8. He may have already. I don't know. They're playing right now. Interesting that this guy who hurt himself so badly is doing so much to his body. I mean, I don't understand how much longer. I guess he's young, dumb, and yeah, that's what we do when we're.
No, I mean, I got to tell you, Danielle, when you have a wrist injury, which is the injury that he has right now, that to me, your hands and your wrists are the most important part of your body because it's the only thing that's attached to the golf club. And they are the most serious injuries. And all you have to do is look at Anthony Kim, you know, who had a debilitating wrist injury. And, you know, we haven't seen him play competitively in over 5 years now. I can't believe that Bryson DeChambeau is so proud of the fact that he came back early, came back before his doctors told him he should. That isn't something you should be proud of. That's something that your parents ought to say, wait a minute, son, you're making a wrong decision. Are you too young to make your own decisions? But coming back earlier than usual for a hand injury should not be applauded because it's really not a good idea.
Yeah, and then it just seems like long drive is even more stressful than golf. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, DeChambeau's a stubborn guy. We know that. And, you know, he wanted to see that tour, you know, elevated a little bit. He knew he could really help it. And I guess that's really important to him. I'm not sure why. But the one thing that I do know is his golf game is going downhill pretty quickly. You know, he's playing okay on that LIV Golf Tour, but are we ever going to see him reach his potential as a player? I don't think now that he's made that move.
Yeah. I feel sad. You know, that's all. I just feel sad. Can I ask you about the Ryder Cup again? Let's go back to that. You're heading to Kohler, Wisconsin. 1 year later, 1 year out, the celebration tomorrow. Will Zach Johnson be there?
No, Zach Johnson is actually in Rome. So we're going to do a thing with him in Rome because they are having on-site activities in Rome also where the Ryder Cup is going to be held. Look, the Ryder Cup is going to be a tough task, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of celebrating for the Americans right now, even though they won the last Ryder Cup. It's been 30 years, Danielle, since the U.S. has won a Ryder Cup on foreign turf. And, yeah, you can say, well, they won at Whistling Straits. They won the President's Cup in Charlotte. But they still haven't won a Ryder Cup in over three decades on foreign soil. That is going to be a big, big test. And if the U.S. wins that thing, then I'll be able to say, you know what, they have turned the tide on these team matches. But that's going to be a tough one over there. Everybody thinks Europe is going to be down, not have a good team. I totally disagree. You're going to see a lot of new European blood, and I think they're going to have a really good team over there.
Yeah, I do too. Marco Simone Golf and Country Club in Rome is where they're playing. You're going to be there, aren't you?
I am. It's going to be spectacular. It was actually sort of built for a Ryder Cup, you know, where there'll be 60,000 fans with only four matches the first 2 days, so that you'll have 15,000 people per match, and you need a lot of space to move them around and give them good views. And they built the back nine specifically for match play in the Ryder Cup. You got right at the end, you got a reachable par five, you got a drivable par four. It's going to be really, really exciting. I think that's one of the things that made Charlotte work so well last week. They rerouted that course for the match play, and they had what was known as the green mile that usually finished the course. They had it in the middle of the back nine, and it really worked well.
Cool. Okay, I do have to ask you some things about Liv, okay? It's hard to ignore it, you know, and just talk about golf. Greg Norman, interview. Did you catch that? I think it was golf.com about his moral line, you know, where's the line? Yeah, and Rory McIlroy, the RNA. I was reading it, and on the, you know, the moral line is always where I end up going because it upsets me. My son, you know, joined the Army, and then 9/11 happened, and, you know, his whole world changed, and it changed a whole bunch of people's world. You know, it's hard to even go there right now. I don't think let's just cut that off. But Norman talked about growing the game. It was all about going international and how he was growing the game. And I'm like, that's not the moral line, really, growing the game. I don't know where he gets that line, since the game of golf is growing and had been growing before Liv.
Absolutely. Look, that Live Golf is never going to grow the game until somebody can watch it on TV. There has yet to be a televised event in that Live Tour series. And frankly, you know, I don't see it happening unless there are some major changes to it. I did an interview on ESPN last week and was talking a little bit about, you know, Rory saying, well, maybe the two organizations ought to sit down now. Adam Scott has been on that bandwagon, said the two groups ought to get together. The fact is, LIV Golf would have to make some significant changes in order for that to work. And all you have to do is start with the logo and the name of the organization. That means 54, L-I-V, 54. In order to get world ranking points, in order to become legitimate, they're going to have 72-hole tournaments. There's no doubt about that in my mind, which means if they want that, to become legitimate, they're going to have to change the whole name of the thing and all their logos and everything else. their whole branding. And I think Norman is just too stubborn to want to do something like that. It's, they put themselves in a very difficult position because they can't get a television deal at this point.
Yeah, there was some talk about Fox being paid through the Saudi funds to air the tournament. I don't know. And then, you know, the big question for the players in particular are those world ranking points and whether or not they'll ever be able to play in any other event. It's sad. And Greg Norman in that same interview talked about how he thinks the two sides should sit down and figure out a way to coexist, but it's not time yet to do that.
Yeah, because he's too stubborn. I mean, you know, he somehow managed to turn the conversation around to him every time. He said it three times in that interview. He said, you know, I was big on growing the game. I was the number one player in the world for 3 years. Okay, he was, or maybe it was 6 years. I don't know, a long time.
Yeah.
But anyway, that should show him that in order to be legitimate, you have to have world ranking points and you have to have championships with the best players in the world. And that's not going to happen with LIV. You're never going to have the number one ranked player in the world playing LIV golf without the points.
Yeah. And so LIV, by the way, is a Roman numeral for 54. And so we pronounce it LIV because what are we else going to do?
It was right. Let's do something else besides that.
Okay. You know, and then there's the suit and countersuit. So the PGA Tour, finally, on the last day they could, they went out. Now, the Saudis been claiming the finance circuit, that is, Greg Norman. They've been claiming that, you know, the PGA Tour makes it very difficult for them to do business, forcing them to give so much money to these guys to come over there.
Yeah,
right. And then the PGA Tour said, you know, pretty much the same thing. Hey, you know, if it weren't for you offering these exorbitant amounts, we wouldn't be having all of these problems, or something to that effect. It's, and then, you know, let's see, Patrick Reed's attorneys dropped the suit, then refiled the defamation suit against Brandel, and then Brandel Chambly, but then they refiled the suit accusing Golf Channel, Golf Week, Gannett, and employees Brandel Chambly, Damon Hack, Shane Bacon, and Eamon Lynch of conspiracy, defamation, injurious falsehood, and tortuous interference. Tortious, excuse me. He's probably feeling like it's torturous. I mean, who in the world of golf 5 years ago, 3 years ago, would have dreamed that we would come to this?
Well, it's unfathomable to me. And, you know, I'm a little surprised that my name's not on that list. I guess they didn't want too many, but I'm pretty certain that I've said some of the things, you know, about Patrick Reed that Damon Hack has said. Or, I mean, I've been on shows with him. So, I mean, who knows where it's all going to end up. I'll tell you what's interesting about the whole LIV golf thing and about what Patrick Reed is doing and everything else. If you take a look at their premise and take a look at the term that Norman uses all the time, he uses the term independent contractors. And that is a really good term because it's two words. It's independent and it's contractor. And the most important thing to consider in all this is, yes, the players are independent contractors. They signed a contract with the PGA Tour. They signed a contract that said they would not do what they have done, and that is go play in conflicting events on another tour. That's a contract. Yes, they can be independent, but when you sign a contract and take a lot of money from an organization like the PGA Tour, you can't just walk away from that contract and say, I'm not going to abide by those rules. I'm going to go take money on the other side. And by the way, I want to come back and take the PGA Tour money also. I mean, it's laughable.
Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports. Is there anything you wanted to mention I didn't ask you before?
Yeah, I can't wait to get back to the islands because I'm done announcing golf for the year and can't wait for the Century Tournament of Champions.
Yeah, yes, 2035. Yeehaw! We've got... it's such a good feeling to know. It just feels so solid. So back to the Mark Coffin, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports. Thank you so much for being on the show.
All right. Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. Coming back, we're going to talk to somebody who spends most of his time on the plantation course at Kapalua because he's the head professional there. It's Michael Costillo, PGA, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You want a new home, but what do you need first? Call Cross Country Mortgage. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. Getting pre-approved is the key to being prepared to get the home you want. Cross Country offers a wide range of loans. Our Hawaii savvy real estate lenders help your loan go smoothly. Call Derek at 808-445-4038. Experience mortgage made easy. Cross Country Mortgage, 808-445-4038. Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwile. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwile parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwile.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Everything Maruyama on sale, up to 25% off at Aloha Power Equipment Superstore next to the Costco gas station this weekend. Weed whackers, blowers, saws, tired of that old weed whacker? Well, this weekend, Iwile and the Waipahu store, you'll get 25% off everything Maruyama. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. We'd like to put a pair of tickets. Oh, it's not tickets, Danielle. We'd like to give you a couple of certificates. Does that work? To go play at the Volcano Golf Course. They're good for a year. So next time you're visiting the Big Island, if you're on the Big Island, if you know somebody on Hawaii Island, you can go play and have a great time and just think, is it going to be 92 degrees today? It's 58 right now. It's not going to get much more than 70-something up high like that. So have a great day and give us a call at 808-545-1111. 808-545-1111. And you'll win two rounds of golf at Volcano Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls, learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
What a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Michael Costillo, PGA, head professional golf at Kapalua's Plantation Golf Course. That is the home of the Century Tournament of Champions through 2035. Michael Costillo has been a golf professional for more than 30 years, working at Mauna Kea, Poipu Bay, Princeville in Hawaii and California, at Big Canyon Country Club in Newport Beach, Plantation Golf Club in La Quinta, California. And yes, he came out on top. The best of the best. Aloha Section PGA professionals. On that weekend, of course, he won the 2022 Aloha Section PGA Championship on the Poipu Bay Golf Course last month. And now he's automatic into the Sony Open in Hawaii at Wailea Country Club. And, of course, that's in January of next year, coming up in just, I don't know, 3 months. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael.
Welcome. Thanks for having me on your show, Danielle.
Absolutely. You come from royalty. Everybody says, oh, Michael Costillo's going to be on. You know, that's golf royalty. because of your family.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been fun. I love how many, I mean, your dad, Ron, first of all, and then your sister, Lori Castillo, and your brothers, Rick and Ron, and who am I leaving out? Michael?
Joey.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, Joey. So you all stayed in the game. Were you guys really, really competitive against each other? Did you want to beat each other really?
Well, you know, we were all 1 year apart in age, so we grew up this game together, appreciating the game. Yes, competing vigorously amongst each other. Yes, I have one sister, Laurie, but she was just another golfer in the group that we played in. And we had a lot of competitive, most every time we teed up, there's something going on. So, yes.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask is I'm sure there's a lot of parents, you know, listening, and they've got kids, they've got siblings that are playing the game. And sometimes, you know, it's kind of hard. How did your dad and your mom handle rooting for the five of you?
Very difficult, I think. The times are different. You know, when you're young and doing it, you just worry about yourself and doing what you need to do to play as well as you can. And, you know, my parents really weren't parents that went to every tournament to follow us around, because which one of your kids do you follow? So they drop us off and they see us at the end and how do you do? So a little different environment than some other parents and players.
Yeah, well, that's good advice right there. You know, some parents might feel like, oh, gosh, you know, everybody else is following their kid. But which one do I follow? Yeah, exactly. And there are lots of big families in Hawaii, so that's really good advice, and I thank you. Century Tournament of Champions committing, or Century Insurance committing to be the sponsor for the Century Tournament of Champions to 2035. What was your reaction?
Huge. We have tremendous commitment to Kapalua, from the ownership to the PGA Tour to Century, all fantastic partners to put out a very successful product, a successful tournament. 2035, that's massive. That's a long time away, and not many events have that kind of commitment, and we're blessed.
Yeah, there's a comfort factor to it, and all of the good work they do, the charity work that's, you know, done, as well as the work in the educational fields that, you know, kids getting scholarships and the help within the business community. It's really nice to see that much being given to the community, Maui, and then, of course, Connected Communities program that they've started is awesome, between Stevens Point, where Century is based, and the island, the whole island of Maui. It's a wonderful feeling to know that a corporation is showing that much, you know, that it's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's huge, Danielle. You think about the partnership that Century has with the whole island of Maui and Hawaii. We couldn't ask for a better committed partner and generous partner as Century's been.
Exactly. Now, let's get to that tournament, that little tournament that got you into the Sony Open.
Yeah, you know, I've had a fairly good year of competitive golf, which I don't have an opportunity always to play as much competitive golf. And earlier, before the tournament, I actually qualified for the National Senior PGA Championship, Professional Championship in New Mexico, which is this month, middle of this month, and my sister Laura is going to caddy for me.
Cool.
For that.
Yes.
And having to play at my old home, Poipu Bay, to play in our section championship and to do well and to qualify for Sony as well as our national professional championship. I've got a very, very awesome tournament schedule coming up.
You do. You do. It's cool because, you know, you're not only in the senior, you're now in the regulars.
Yeah, I'm representing the old guy a little bit. It was an exciting week. A lot of good players, and I need a little bit of help from the best of our players for me to do as well as I did. But it was definitely a fun week.
Yeah, and Juan Hernandez from Nanea just one stroke back, you know. What was the course playing like? Was it really, I mean, Poipu Bay, it's your course. Did that help it being your former home course?
Yeah, you know, being there for 12 years and coming back, I haven't really played the golf course in 15, you know, so going back was, it was really great to see all the family and friends of people I worked with for many years. Yes, course advantage, I understand the golf course. It was like a two-club win event, so there was a little bit of teeth to the course, which is fun. I putted well. I played well finishing my round each day, so I needed a little bit of help from the guys behind me to have a hiccup here or there, and I played well coming in, so it was a good event.
That's nice. I like how you said, I putted well. That was one of the first things you said about your game. So when I asked, So I asked you about what part of the game is your favorite to teach, or what aspect of the game are you most comfortable with or like teaching the most? Did you think about that?
Yeah. You know, I like teaching, getting the ball in the hole, short game stuff, putting, pitching, chipping, how to get your mind in the right place to excel with the skill that you have. Because I think a lot of poor shots can be erased with a good short game.
That's not, you see, hear that, guys? You know, just you, sometimes you hit it really beautiful and then you hit a power line. Did you know, Michael Costillo, that there is a rule that if you hit a power line, that is automatically not a stroke? And you have to play another ball.
Yes, yes.
How do you
do
that? It's
part of the course where you have an automatic relief or replayed. It doesn't happen often. And there's not many courses that have them, but the ones that do usually have a local rule that allows the player an option of replaying.
Yeah, that happened on the PGA Tour this past couple of days. Interesting.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought, well, what, does it electrocute the ball?
Yeah, I mean, they wish they would have those power lines running through the golf course, but sometimes it's unavoidable. And, you know, a golfer is a good golf shot, and that shouldn't be there.
You know, I digress. So you hit a beautiful shot, and you hit something, you know, and it doesn't do what you expected it to do. So that's not going to get you where you thought you were going to go. So you're going to get on the green. Now you need to have that nice short game, or not completely on the green. Now you still have to have that great short game. So you like to teach the short game and putting more than anything?
Yeah, I enjoy that a lot. I think there's a lot of information from playing the game a lot and playing it competitively a lot that you can share, and it's not always that obvious. You know, around the greens, there's so many different shots. You have to read the lie. You have to read, you know, the green surface, the contours of the green, and then, you know, choose the right club for the right kind of shot to get the right results. And it's not just hitting the 8-iron, you know, 165 to the green. That's a stock shot that, you know, which is not easy to do, but it's less thought and less, you know, instinct and feel that allows you to hit those shots. Around the greens, it's completely different. And that's why they move the hole around the green every day to make the golf course interesting. So it's not just automatic. This is how it was yesterday, and so is today. And so I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah. Now, what, you know, for the folks who are beginning or have been in it for a little while but don't know everything yet, not that we ever really do, what is a good general rule of thumb? You're around the green. What loft is a good loft? You know, some people just stare at their clubs going, God, I don't know what to pick.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors involved. I mean, look what's in front of you. Look what's the most practical or easiest way for you to get the ball to the hole. Is it carrying the ball two-thirds the way there, hitting a pitch, or hitting a chip where it carries a third the way to the hole and have it run out like a putt? I think you have to understand what's the best option and also what the strengths that you have. You know, a less lofted club and a smaller stroke to chip the ball sometimes is easier than a half swing flopping the ball up, carrying it two-thirds. you know, generally speaking, less loft tends to work and it becomes more predictable than our more lofted club.
Less loft. Did you hear that, everybody? So, you know, you don't want to do Phil Mickelson, you know, all those fancy, what was it, 60-degree wedges?
Yeah, I mean, they're fun. They're fun, and they're pretty cool to hit. But if score matters and you want to be more, have a more predictable result, generally speaking, a less lofted club is going to be more predictable. But, you know, like anything, because there's so many different shots, you know, practicing, finding something that you're excelling the most and use that as the go-to and then develop other shots. But generally speaking, when you're not having to carry a big obstacle like a bunker or a big mounding area, less loft is going to work for you better.
Okay. And what if I just want to putt it on the green? Because I think that'll be better for me. Is that okay?
Well, you know, if you think about it, Danielle, you know, in golf, half the strokes are supposed to be on the green putting. You know, if you hit the green regulation, that's 36 putts. If you hit 36 shots and you hit 36 putts, you hit 72. So a putter is probably the most comfortable, hopefully, or most used stroke in the game that when you have a chance to putt, I'd putt.
There you go. See? If it's in the short grass right on the edge there, you know, just putt. Just have, you know, and, yeah, it's going to be good. So what would you suggest to somebody who loves this game? How do they become a professional? What's the pathway? What path do you take to get into this game seriously and make money?
Well, you know, me being a guy that checks in golfers and folds shirts and runs tournaments and teaches and that my profession, I think you have to really love the game of golf first before you want to take a career path of being a golf professional. A professional golfer, the guys we see on TV, you really have to love all the work that goes into becoming a great elite player. And it takes a lot of luck and it takes a lot of hard work. We see the best in the world, and you know, every week there's 140 whatever players every week we watch that try to make the cut. Yet there's, you know, thousands of really good players just like them, but you know, they're more successful for a few reasons, and a lot of it's hard work, obviously talent, and desire. It's a lifestyle of traveling from city to city every other week or whatever their schedule is, and it's a different lifestyle, and it's something that you have to enjoy doing. I think I've never done it, but it's a natural thing to want to be the best if you have the commitment and dedication and talent, you'll do it.
Yeah, thank you. I misspoke. Golf professional, somebody who wants to work at a golf course, and as you said, it's not all fun and games, and you hardly ever get to play golf, but somebody really loves the game, would it be to get really good and then take the PAT test?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that our profession has is the value of playing the game of golf at a certain level, a certain skill level. So the player's ability test, the PAT, is something that is part of the process of becoming a PGA golf professional. And for some, it's easy. For some, it's more challenging. And for others, it's not obtainable. But that's something that, again, when it comes down to what I do, loving the game is number one. And obviously, I've been doing it for, you know, playing this game for over 50 years, and I love doing it. And I love, you know, putting myself in a competitive environment as well as recreational golf with buddies and family and that sort of thing. But it comes down to a fundamental, like my dad's always said, you've got to love the game for you to really enjoy the profession. The business card is nice to have in your wallet, but it's not going to fulfill you with the profession, because we don't get paid mountains of money. We're not a live golf player that's asked to, yes, to show for three rounds of golf for, you know, $120 million. So we have to love the game.
Yes. Michael Costillo, PGA head professional, golf at Kapalua on the Plantation Golf Course. Thanks so much for being on the show. I look forward to you. I hope the PGA Tour has decided that we can go back into the media center and do the show live, and maybe you'll sit down at the table with us.
That'd be great. I mean, you know, it's the first time for me to play in the Sony, and I can't wait. It's going to be fun. My brother Joey will be in the bag, so it'll be a family.
Tell me, me before you go. I have, Lori's going to be on your bag when you go to the mainland. Joey's going to be on your bag for the Sony. What do you want your caddy to do for you?
Make sure that I have fun, regardless of how well or how poorly I might, may or may not play. Have fun. I mean, I don't get to spend enough time with my siblings as I'd like to because we all have lives and works and family, but it's going to be a blast. Being with my sister in New Mexico, it'll be just so much fun, and then also with Joey and Sony, it'll be just tremendously enjoyable time.
I want you all to hear what he said. Fun. It's got to be fun. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Awesome, awesome. Michael Costello, PGA Head Professional Golf at Kapalua on the Plantation Golf Course. We're going to come back with Alex Myers. He was so inspired. He wrote a little ditty for one of the players in the President's Cup. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets. With the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure, you can completely focus on your next thing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at cypac.com. That's CYPAC.com.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club, Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, with guests including stars of golf from Hawaii and around the world. And no one leaves this show without giving you a tip to improve your game and maybe even your day. These folks help make it possible. Star Protection, get the star team on your property. Alaka'i Mechanical, the best in air conditioning statewide. And Moon Physical Therapy, they achieve results. Join me, Danielle Tucker, The Golf Club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Compliant. Flood, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company expert. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest magazine. Alex writes one of my favorite golfdigest.com columns. It's called The Grind, Social, Off the Wall, The Week in Review. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alex.
Hey, Danielle, how's it going?
It's going good. It's going really good. There's, there's so many things going on in this world of golf. It's almost hard to keep up. It used to be, you're buying, you're selling. By the way, what are you buying?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think we're still impressed by the U.S., performance at the President's Cup. Obviously, Jordan Spieth, very exciting to see him go 5-0 in that event. I think it was probably the best performance he's had since winning the 2017 Open Championship when he won his last major. So I think that's got people excited for him coming into next year. Maybe he finally gets that fourth major. And then obviously on the international side, as you know, I was very impressed by young Tom Kim, 20-year-old guy, just kind of made the team thanks to a late win in the season at the Wyndham Championship. And this guy's going to be a superstar, and I think we all know how good he was. I don't think we all knew what a star he could be. He really took over that event. He made it competitive all by himself almost.
Yep.
He fired up the crowd.
Yep.
He was really something for a 20-year-old to kind of be the leader on a team. That's pretty special.
Yes, it was the best President's Cup that I can remember. I mean, it was, yeah, the first day was like, oh, dear.
Right.
But then they just, they I don't know, you know, what he said in the team room, but the captain fired him up, and all of a sudden, do you know what he said to them in the team room by chance?
I don't know, but you know, there have been rave reviews about Trevor Immelman as a captain, and obviously those guys played very hard, and they got along great. And you're right, it's too bad that the U.S. did jump out to such a big lead right away, because, you know, we all thought they were going to win, and then after day one and even day two, it seemed like it was, the competition was over. But from then on, the internationals really outplayed them. And, again, it's just too bad they didn't go off to a slightly better start. It might have been a little more dramatic on Sunday. But that's the thing about these events, Danielle. You know, we talk about – and look, I'm not against changing the President's Cup format or anything like that. Or, you know, there's been talk about adding the women in. I think that would be fantastic if there was some event that incorporated a team event that incorporated the men and the women. That would be amazing. But I still think the President's Cup, even if the U.S. wins every time almost, it's still a fun event to watch. It's still a worthwhile thing. There's always the chance that you finally get that big upset. You know, I'm a Wake Forest football fan. We almost beat Clemson last week. We didn't. We haven't been the top 10 team in 76 years. But I'm still going to watch today when they play Florida State, because you never know. Maybe we will be the top team one of these days. So I think it's still a fun competition. You get to see the match play. You get to see the team aspect of it. And so I hope it's an event that stays, even though I know a lot of people are kind of saying it should be changed or done away with.
You know what? I'm so old. I've been doing this for so long. I remember when the same thing was said when the Europeans lost. Every time.
Yeah, exactly.
When the record was played, it was like, oh, dear, we're going to have to do something about this.
Exactly. These things go in waves. That's a great point. And, you know, that happened for years and years and years. And then it got to the point recently where it was like, oh, the U.S. doesn't have a chance against the Europeans. But now, so, you know, it can go both ways. And what's crazy is, you know, the President's Cup, not right at the beginning, but I think the third or fourth one, the internationals won in 1998. They won in decided fashion. And then in 2003, they had that epic tie down in South Africa with Els and Tiger battling.
Yeah.
And you look at that team on paper, when they had Els and Vijay Singh and Goosen and Nick Price and, you know, Adam Scott. I mean, they had a better team on paper. So, you know, you just never know, especially with this new wave. You know, a lot of these talented young South Koreans. You've got, the Hideki Matsuyamas of the world. You know there's going to be some big Chinese players coming up soon. We saw one win the U.S. Junior this year. So at some point, these other areas of the world are going to catch up, and so our one country is not going to be able to handle that.
Thank you very much. I mean, they are, because they were the last so far. You know, we haven't gotten to the African continent yet.
Exactly.
Right? So at this point, it's these international players. They haven't been playing as long as the Europeans or the Americans. But just give them a little time. You know, they've got game.
Yeah.
They're going to get us, and we better be ready for it. It's not going to be a walk in the park. I mean, Max Homa is a perfect example of, you know, what it takes when you feel the pressure. He just thrived on that pressure. He had a great time.
And he was the other name I wanted to highlight. What an impressive performance. What an impressive couple of years for Max Homa. I mean, we all saw the talent that he had when he was at Cal Berkeley. You know, it took him a while kind of to find his way. You know, he couldn't even get his PGA Tour card for a few years. And then he finally gets his first win, I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago for Ohio. And then since the beginning of last year, he has 4 wins, which is as many as anyone else in the world on the PGA Tour. So this guy all of a sudden has become a winning machine. And then he gets in there in his first, first time representing the U.S. as a pro and goes 4-0. Just an amazing job by him, and he had one of the most dramatic putts as well. He had a walk-off winning putt, I believe that was on Friday, when the U.S. really took control of this event. But it was just amazing to see him in that situation for the first time excel like that. And I think, obviously, you know, now people are expecting him to do it at the majors. But, you know, the President's Cup, you know, like the Ryder Cup, it's a pretty big pressure-filled situation. People don't realize it, especially when you're playing for your teammates, for your country. So for him to step up then, I think that's going to really help him at the majors going forward.
Yeah, and playing in front of 40,000 people.
Yeah.
That will do it to you a little bit. Okay, so let's go back to Tom Kim, all right? you really got me. I don't know how to set the stage here. First of all, you apologized to Billy Joel.
Yes.
Why?
Well, because, you know, I took his song and I chopped it up and I played, you know, little infant instruments that I stole from my kids. My daughter actually heard me banging away down in the basement, and she thought that my youngest was in the house somewhere. She was very confused. She said, "I thought Maddie was here. I heard the instruments." And I was like, "That's right. Well, I had to play, you know, these little kids' instruments because I can't play the real instruments." So apologies to Billy Joel. It's one of my favorite songs ever, The Ballad of Billy the Kid, and it just jumped into my head. Well, I could do one for Tom Kim, and, you know, first I was like, well, The Ballad of Tommy the Kid, and I was like, I'll just sing Tommy the Kid. So we went with that, Danielle. I was inspired by both Tom Kim and Billy Joel, and actually Sam Harrop, who obviously does all the great parodies on Golf Twitter. We had him as a guest on the podcast, and I actually reached out to him, and I wanted it to be a collaboration, but he had just been traveling, and he kind of burned out, and he didn't want to do it. So I said, you know what, I'll just do it on my own. I won't have a real piano. I'll just lay a karaoke track down there, get the kids' instruments, and have some fun with it. So I hope people enjoyed it. It was fun to do, and, you know, maybe I've done a few of these now, but very sporadically. Maybe we'll do more if people like it.
What are the instruments you're playing?
Well, I got a little xylophone in there. A little xylophone,
mind you.
And then there's like a little drum thing that you hit, which my daughter said, "Daddy, you're supposed to just hit it with your hand, not with the drumstick." I said, "Okay, I'm sorry." And then there's some kind of like wooden instrument too that I smacked around a few times, because that song, it's such a great song. It's got all these great instruments in the background. So,
yeah.
You know, again, I didn't do it justice, but I did feel like I could add something with the kids' instruments.
Yeah,
so, and I did play those instruments by myself, Danielle. I will have you know, that was really me playing.
No, I could see that it was your playing. You know, it's called The Ballad of Tommy the Kid, and I'm sure you'll find it on golfdigest.com. Is it on YouTube, possibly? Is that someplace else we could look?
It's actually not on YouTube.
Okay, then
it's on. Yeah, find it on our site. It's on, you know, we tweeted it out.
It's on my
Twitter page, obviously.
Uh-huh.
It's not quite gotten to YouTube yet, Danielle. I don't know if it's ready, if it's YouTube approved.
You know, it could be TikTok for all we know.
Maybe it's on TikTok. I don't know.
Well, let's listen to a couple of stanzas. This is Alex Myers. Playing with the little tiny drum and the little tiny xylophone, and it's called The Ballad of Tommy the Kid, inspired by Tommy Kim.
From a town known as Seoul, South Korea, played a boy with a six iron in his hand. His daring life of dying made him a fast food legend in his time, east and west of the Rio Grande. Well, it started with a win in Greensboro, in the pocket of his vest, a McRibby head. And his age and his size took the U.S. by surprise, and the word spread of Tommy the Kid. Well, he never hits it heavy, yet he always shoots the pin, and he soon puts any older guns to shame. And he doesn't have a sweetheart, but he loves the cartoon train, which is where our guy Thomas got his name.
My goodness. That is so much fun. And you just, you know, Tom, Kim, tell me about Thomas the Tank. How did Thomas the Tank get in your video while you're singing?
So I got a couple of factoids in there. We know that he took his English name because he was of Thomas, because he was a huge Thomas the Train fan, which my kids are as well. So shout out Thomas the Train. It's a great, great kids show.
Yeah.
And then we know he's a huge, although he says he's now cut back, he's a huge fast food guy, and that he said whenever he came to the U.S., all he would do is eat fast food. He loves, you know, Chipotle. He loves Panda Express. He loves, you know, he goes on and on. He's like a fast food connoisseur. So I got the little part in there about, you know, being a fast food guy and having a McRib and everything else in there. So those are really kind of like the things that we know about him. And obviously we're going to find out more and more as we go on. But he's just such a fun guy. And it was fun to kind of work some of those things in there. But certainly we're going to learn more about him, and I think everybody's excited to see more of him in the PGA Tour this year, because he wasn't even like a full member this year, and he ended up winning a tournament and getting into the FedEx Cup playoffs and almost making it to the Tour Championship and then becoming a President's Cup star. So, and he just turned 20 in June. So
20 years old.
Real talent. Yeah, real talent.
he's a kid.
He's a kid. Tommy the kid.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. That was so much fun. And you've got to see him because he's working so hard. Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest magazine. You know, just really working. You could hear that he was playing, right? I mean, there was no need for us to explain that. It was wonderful. I thank you for your creativity. Just really impresses me all the time.
Thanks, Danielle. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I was shocked when I was reading your column because Shane Lowry is such a nice guy. I mean, he's like really down-to-earth, Irish guy. Just, you know, he seems to be very kind, sort of. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know him. But from, you know, I know some of the people who are sponsors of him, Esker Hills, and in Ireland, and you know, so I know he's a really, really, really nice guy. So he hit Bryson DeChambeau, a bit harder than the gallery rope, as you wrote.
What's
up here?
Well, you know, everything that you said is true, and in my dealings and other people's dealings, Shane Lowry is a great guy. He's a great bloke, as they like to say.
Right, right.
And, you know, there is really a divide here between the LIV guys and the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour guys. And we saw it when Shane Lowry won the BMW PGA a few weeks ago. He said when he won, this is a win for the good guys. And it was a clear jab at the LIV golfers who left the PGA Tour or left the DP World Tour and went. Mm-hmm. It was a real shot at them. And they were playing that week. A few of them were in contention. You know, I think there was a lot on the line. You know, Shane Lowry did not want one of those guys to win. And so when he won, he said it was one win for the good guys. And then the following week, Taylor Gooch, who for some reason has become kind of the face of the LIV guys, at least in terms of talking trash online, when his team, the Aces, won again, he said this is a win for the good guys in an Instagram post. So it was a shot back at him. Now, that wasn't Bryson going after Shane Lowry, but it still just showed you kind of the back and forth that exists there. And so when Shane Lowry took a shot at Bryson, you know, Bryson did a playful video finally, which I thought was a good job by him. I wish he'd done it a little earlier, but about the whole gallery rope that hit him, he kind of finally joked about it.
Oh, good.
Shane Lowry made fun of him and said, I don't know what's worse, this or the weather that's forecasted the next day. And as we've seen this week, the weather is horrendous in Scotland. So, and then even Justin Thomas chimed in and kind of said, it's definitely the Bryson video. So these guys have not been kind to Bryson. Not that he's been kind to them, but it just shows you they're, you know, we're not used to this, Danielle, right? There's actually like tension in golf. And
like
again,
it's just soccer players, or is it baseball fans?
Exactly.
Fans and, it's like, wow, or even
exactly. And again,
maybe
it's not like
closer to hockey.
Right, exactly. But again, it's not like they're like punching each other. It's
well,
they're taking little shots at each other on Twitter, and we're like going crazy over it. But
yeah,
because we're not used to it. So that's kind of the backstory there. And you know, I think we're still going to see more and more of that going forward. I mean, some people, you know, probably say this is terrible for the game. Some people probably say, oh, this is kind of cool. Or, you know, this golf actually has some rivalry. I mean, you know, when the Brooks and Bison thing happened last year or whenever it was the year before, people got swept up in it because you just don't usually see that kind of animosity between golfers. So it's definitely a real thing right now. It's definitely something that's going to continue as we go forward, as LIV continues to maybe pluck even, you know, more golfers here or there from the PGA Tour. And Bryson, you know, Bryson's one of those guys. He, a lot of people don't like Bryson. A lot of people do like Bryson, but he's a lightning rod. So he's going to, you know, he's going to take some shots. And he took one from Shane Lowry.
Yes, and just to give you an idea of how bad the weather was, I love Tyrrell Hatton. When
so miserable.
They had to set up a shotgun start. And it, all three courses in a shotgun start. And so he's walking along with his hat on, his clothes on. He's like, you know, I'm soaking wet. He said, he was asked how are you doing? He said, miserable. And
miserable.
Then he started laughing, but he goes, I'm laughing outside, but on the inside I'm crying. And I wish I had.
I wish I had. He said he wanted a time machine to get through the next two and a half hours.
Right. He goes, I want the time machine to fast forward me back to into the warm and dry. So he figured it'd be another, you know, whatever time to get. So yeah, it looked bad.
It was really bad.
Yeah,
and that's the worst part about being a pro, by the way, Danielle. You have to play in crap like that. Me, I don't know about you, but if for me, if it's even like a little breezy and it's below 70 degrees, I'm kind of like, I'm good. You know, definitely if it's raining, I'm like, nah, no thanks. So these guys, they have to go out there and bundle up and take the rain and take the wind and just get beat up for 5 hours out there. That's tough. So, but I love Tyrrell Hatton. He's hysterical. I mean, he tells it as it is.
Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest magazine, and one of the things he was also buying, Tiger Woods on the bag. Woods shoots his low round of the day, of his life, I should say.
Yeah.
68, 4-under. That was at the NB3 Last Chance Regional. So thank you, Alex Myers, so much for being on the show. So much fun listening to your little city. I like that word. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Danielle, thank you. Thank you for enjoying it. Thank you for playing it. I hope people got a kick out of it. Hopefully there'll be more where that comes from. But thanks so much. Anytime.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. So we're going to come back with Michael Patrick Shields, host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire, author, many, many books, including I Call Him Mr. President, Stories of Golf, Fishing, and Life. And he's just driven across country after staying a while in Belize. We'll be with Michael Patrick after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You want a new home, but what do you need first? Call Cross Country Mortgage. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. Getting pre-approved is the key to being prepared to get the home you want. Cross Country offers a wide range of loans. Our Hawaii-savvy real estate lenders help your loan go smoothly. Call Derek at 808-445-4038. Experience mortgage made easy. Cross Country Mortgage, 808-445-4038.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
KORLYNI, Honolulu.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Everything Maruyama is on sale this weekend. Everything Maruyama is on sale. Up to 25% off at the Aloha Power Equipment Superstore next to the Costco gas station. Whether it's a weed whacker you need because yours is really looking bad, saws, whatever saws you need, blowers, this weekend, Evilay and Waipahu, Maruyama is on sale up to 25% off. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Michael Patrick Shields is host of Michigan's Big Show, which is heard around the world. He's on 12 radio stations in Michigan, but it's heard, and he lives around the world. His base is Michigan, where he hosts his award-winning syndicated morning radio program. But you see, it doesn't matter whether he's in Palm Springs, like he's not, or whether he's in Indian Wells Country Club, JW Marriott Desert Springs, just back from Belize, where he was in Belize. It doesn't matter where he is. Driving across country, he's on the radio doing his show from wherever he is. I want your job, Michael Patrick.
Be very careful what you wish for, Danielle, unless you like living out of a Chevy Blazer and hoping that the hotel has laundry service.
A Chevy Blazer?
Yeah, see, Chevrolet says new roads, and so that's what we find in that thing. All over America, back and forth, and I know that you might get island fever from time to time.
Sure do.
In Hawaii. But just imagine being able to say, I'm going to drive from sea to shining sea and get behind the wheel and go. And I know it's a dream of a lot of people, and they say, one day I'm going to do that. And so this is the second time around for me. The first time was a sea to shining sea series of broadcasts, which actually won an award. And so I decided to do it again and take some different route and take some different cities in and see what it's like. And it's quite fascinating.
So why Belize, first off?
Well, Belize was, obviously I didn't drive the Chevy to Belize. I suppose I could have, but it would have been perilous and dangerous and would have taken a long time. So I did cheat and use the airplane there. But they invited me to a place called Serenian Bay. They wanted me to see where they're building a new golf course. And they have everything else you would want there. Some Texans went to Belize, and they also had that dream that some of us have when we go on vacation, and they say, I don't think I'm going home. Well, this pair of Texans decided to stay, and they built a resort, and it's called Serenian Bay in a place called Palencia, Belize. And, of course, it was an interesting week to be there because it was the week of the funeral of Queen Elizabeth. So the whole Commonwealth country was celebrating and remembering that day with a holiday. And then 3 days later, they celebrated Independence Day, which I thought was kind of a funny coincidence that on one hand, they're celebrating Her Majesty, and 3 days later, they're celebrating, you know, breaking away from the British Empire, although they're still a Commonwealth country. So with all the snorkeling and swimming and partying that went on, it was quite a very festive international visit for sure.
I love the picture of you sitting all by yourself. Was that you sitting there just enjoying taking in the vista, the beautiful blue water?
Yeah, they have that water that looks like it's Gatorade, and go snorkeling in it. And don't drink it, though. It's salt water. Find a drink that looks like Gatorade, and they'll brew one up for you there for sure. It's a very simple and fun place, and I enjoyed visiting there. And so I'll be curious to see what happens when they finish the golf course, because it's known as an adventure place where you can go zip lining and, you know, swimming in waterfalls, kind of like Hawaii. And so now they're adding some golf.
Yeah. Okay. So you're driving across country after spending time in Belize, flying to the U.S. mainland. You know, that Grand Canyon National Park, the Four Corners Monument, that sign showing the way to Four Corners Monument is priceless. It's, how old must that be? You know, like 80 years old?
It is. It's the Four Corners there. And in fact, I sent a picture of it to Jim Nance from CBS Sports because I know he loves, even though he flies private to all his events, he loves to get behind the wheel and drive. And I said, I thought you'd get a kick out of this. I found myself at Four Corners quite by accident. But it's in a Native American huge reservation, and it's where four corners of the states come together, and you can stand with one hand and one foot and be in four states at one time.
That's nice. Just the people bringing up.
You're not going to do that from Hawaii, even island to island. It's neat. And that's the beautiful thing about driving is you can say, you want to take a 20-mile detour and go to the Four Corners? And you say, sure, why wouldn't you, you know? And in one case, though, as I was making my way to Palm Springs, where I am today, a true golf mecca, of course, it was getting dark, and I was on this road on the desert floor that was coming out at a place called Desert Center. And there was a big storm coming over the mountains, and it was just beautiful, shocking scenery. And I was eager to get to somewhere there where there would be, you know, street signs and road lights and all that kind of thing. And so I took the picture and I posted it. And, you know, in the Facebook, when you tag and it'll tell you where you are so you can let people know automatically.
Right.
It came up BFE California.
What is BFE?
I can't say it on the radio, but
no.
There are a percentage of your listeners who will know what that means. The rest can go and look it up. But it means you're nowhere, man. You are in
lost,
deserted country.
Lost.
The last letter is Egypt. I'll put it that way.
Okay. So what is Crazy Woman Creek?
Oh, that is one of... That is what, again, these come to find out when I was in Durango, Colorado, which is about 6 hours southwest of Denver. They have the Silverton Durango Railroad, which you can get on for the day, and it'll take you up on a beautiful scenic ride through the mountains. And some of the places that you'll pass are scary sounding or funny sounding. And I thought, well, you know, why would someone want to go to, you know, Black Canyon or, you know, Death Valley or places like that or Crazy Woman Creek?
Yes.
And I guess the reason they'd named them that is they didn't want other settlers coming into their land. And when the big rush was on, so they would name things dark, scary, menacing, lethal kind of names like that. So if you dare to go to Crazy Woman Creek, which I confess to having done a number of times in my romantic life, take your chances.
Okay.
No more, though. No more.
No more crazy women? Okay.
No, that's it.
Yeah, okay. All right, so now we're going to go to Palm Springs. And Twin Palms, the Frank Sinatra House?
Oh, yeah, it's interesting. The chairman of the board, Old Blue Eyes, has been gone now for a couple of decades. But when you come here, you'll see the street signs with his name, and you'll have people like me who want to go to the places that he drank and the places that he ate. And he had two or three homes here, and you can easily find out where they are. One you can drive right by. The compound is behind a gated community, but it doesn't matter. You can really feel the impact of Frank Sinatra here, and particularly the J.W. Marriott. It's Desert Springs, it's called, and they've got two golf courses here, the Palm and the Valley. And they used to have the Frank Sinatra Celebrity Golf Tournament. And so when you go into the ballroom area here, they have 38,000 square feet. They have the Frank Sinatra Ballroom. And they've been kind enough to put a beautiful plaque and a big mural on the wall, very tasteful and elegant, that this was the site of Sinatra's last performance. And I don't think anybody knew it at the time, and it wasn't billed as that, but it was the conclusion of his golf tournament. And he came and he sang to the people who attended the tournament, and he did six songs, I Am Told, to absolute perfection. And when he put the mic down, and you can go in that room, and as a broadcaster and a performer, to go stand in that room where it all came to an end, to me is really powerful. Mm. And that happened right here at this resort.
Wow. Well, the pool there is magnificent.
They do have lots of cool. And in fact, it's kind of like, what is it, Waikoloa. They have those little Duffy boats that you can get on inside the hotel, and they take you out through the canals and water hazards and so forth for a little ride. So it reminded me of the Waikoloa Hilton there on the Big Island.
Now, I just want to be in one of those little boats and feel the water kind of rocking you back and forth.
And yeah, well, just be ready, though. It's 106 degrees here today.
Never mind.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you're looking for warm weather, this is the place to come. And it has been not just Sinatra, of course, but the celebrity enclave of Bob Hope and Dinah Shore and all the greats who had tournaments here over the years. And if you go over to, as I did before I came here to JW Marriott, to the Indian Wells Golf Resort, you'll remember very clearly that that's where Bob Hope's Desert Classic was, one of the courses for all the
players.
They've got two courses, too, Clive Clark and John Fought. And what they did, you'll like this. They built a giant solar panel which covers the teeing areas for the practice range. And they told me that those solar panels will provide shade while you're hitting, but that will power 90% of the electricity needed for the resort to operate, including something like 180 golf carts.
Wow.
I mean, they don't get sun. It doesn't really hardly ever rains here. So they get that powerful sun, and they've turned it around. And Indian Wells, by the way, is the last time there was a Ryder Cup in California. 1959, it happened right here.
Wow, there was a Ryder Cup in California?
Indian Wells.
Nine.
Yep.
Wow. That must have been something. Okay, I have a question that has a lot to do with the golf courses that you've been visiting. It has to do also with Secrets of the Great Golf Course Architects, one of the books you've written.
Yes.
Michael Patrick Shields also wrote Golf Short Game for Dummies. Can you remember one of the great secrets of golf course architects?
Well, some of them are very simple in that you want a nice starting hole that gets people moving into the golf course. Now, that might not sound very exciting, but from a practical standpoint, the last thing you want is an opening hole that's too difficult that slows down play.
Ah, yeah.
So, you know, some of the things that you'll think about are not related to beauty, and sometimes you might call it strategy, but it's more about the practicality of moving people through a golf course. Now, Ben Wright, for instance, one of the architects, he never wanted the cart path to be on the left side of the tee, if he could help it, because, particularly the ladies' tee I'm talking about, because he didn't think ladies would like to stand mostly right-handed with men looking at their bottom side from the cart path while they teed.
He is so
you might never think of that.
He was so right.
The golf course design.
Yeah, it's so smart. Such a smart man. No woman.
And then when he got a piece of land there, too, at his golf course there at Cliffs Valley, where it was originally designed by Davis Love III, and they brought Ben in before they built the course, and he said, let's do it differently. There was Terry Creek running all through this golf course, and Davis Love had holes going over the creek, sort of back and forth, like a water hazard, and Ben said, why don't we run the holes along the creek? So that people get the view of the water throughout the golf course and the sound of the gurgling, you know, stream, and they can enjoy it the whole way through instead of always fearing having to hit over it.
Wow.
There are things like that in the book that I thought were quite interesting.
That is interesting. This is Michael Patrick Shields, host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire, authored so many books, including I Call Him Mr. President, Stories of Golf, Fishing, and Life. It's a wonderful book.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There's lots of presidential history here, too. Gerald Ford lived here in Palm Springs, and John F. Kennedy's tryst with Marilyn Monroe happened here at Bing Crosby's house. I know that Marilyn Monroe movie that just came out this week is getting a lot of attention, and it's quite controversial, but they have a huge statue of Marilyn Monroe here, Forever Marilyn, it's called. It's a bit controversial, but if you like Marilyn Monroe, and it's one of the memories here of the celebrity element. And there was once in the Bob Hope Classic a foursome that was Gerald Ford, Bill Clinton, George Bush, Scott Hoke, and Bob Hope, all in one five-some, right here.
What?
And, of course, Ike Eisenhower used to be, and Nixon, they all came here.
What a wonderful group to follow.
Yeah,
with
a long round.
I'd love to listen to what they'd say. you know, with Bob Hope, he, you know, nonstop funnery.
Well, he had the best line of all about Palm Springs. If you think there aren't a lot of golf courses here, Bob Hope is famous for saying he, until he hits his opening tee shot and sees where it lands, he doesn't know which golf course he's playing. That's how, you know, many there are.
Yes, Michael Patrick Shields, host, Michigan's Big Show. Thank you for being on the show. So where do you go next? You're leaving Palm Springs to go?
Yep. I am headed to Los Angeles for the Dodgers
You're going to go to
playoff.
The Dodgers game. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go to hopefully the World Series, but I've got tickets for the NLDS and the NLCS, and I'm in line for the World Series, and so I'll see you in Hollywood.
See you in Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Thank you very much for being on the show, Michael Patrick. Always a pleasure talking with you. Aloha.
Mahalo and aloha.
And our sponsors, Aloha Power Equipment's Megastore. Aloha Power Equipment's new Megastore next door to the Costco station on Alakava in Iwile. And you'll find all the Aloha Power Equipment you need or want. Huge savings. For instance, Maruyama is on sale this weekend. Everything Maruyama is on sale up to 25% off at the Aloha Power Equipment Superstore next to the Costco gas station. Weed whackers and blowers and saws. And so this weekend, Iwile and Waipahu Store, we put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Call Derek at Cross Country Mortgage. All of your questions will be answered about loans and interest rates. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. We make sure our buyers are educated about what's going on when buying a home every step of the way. Not hand it off to someone. You get that person with you all the way. Derek is his name. His number is 808-445-4038. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters, if you need help, yeah, and need it right away, MD Restoration is on it any time of the day, right away. Or not. If disaster strikes your home, your office, call MD Restoration. Not only can they do all the mitigation, they can do that cleanup, they can do the repair, because they are licensed contractors. 528-3434. We're very honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. Best way to get good at this game, take a lesson. Take a lesson from a PGA, a member of the Professional Golfers Association, Professional Golfers Association of America. It takes a lot of time and a lot of love of the game to become a PGA, because they love the game and they love teaching. They can help you. CyPAC for cybersecurity. Speaking of help for your company or your organization, CyPAC, it's an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call them. Online is CyPAC.com, CYPAC.com. The number is 861-9595, 861-9595. And it's almost that time, you know, it's October, and so we're looking into the future. Now it makes sense that we have all these October Halloween candies everywhere displayed, and you've been eating them for a month now, you say? But you want to get a gift for somebody. You're a little bit stumped. You have no idea what to give for a great friend who seems to have everything. Give them a Poipu Bay gift certificate. It was home of the Grand Slam of golf for years. Hawaii watched Tiger Woods play Poipu Bay, Kauai's South Shore gem, year after year. It was wonderful. Everyone at the golf club wants a gift certificate from Poipu Bay. So, you know, that is a really safe bet that you're going to make somebody very happy. I'm not sure if this forecast will make you very happy. Mostly sunny to partly cloudy, isolated to scattered showers. The high today is where I have a problem, 92 degrees. Variable winds, 5 to 15 miles per hour. Thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.